Hello and welcome to Misbehave, the podcast where we explore human behavior in a business context. Season 2 of Misbehave is all about uncovering behavioral patterns which create success in life and business. We're joined by highly driven, accomplished individuals to assess their behavioral patterns and dive into how behaviors have influenced their journey. In this episode, we talk about strategic thinking and how to get your team to think more strategically. From garnering buy-in with company-wide strategy, to the behaviors at the center of successful visionaries, to practical ways to train your team, we talk through proven techniques that you can instantly apply in your business. So today we are going to talk about strategic thinking and getting your team members to think more strategically. This seems to be an ongoing theme with our clients around just the challenge that leaders have in getting their team to not only connect with the vision, but also for them to contribute and think more strategically.
And I mean, this is work we've been doing with our clients for a number of years now, but it doesn't seem to go away. And the more you elevate people into more leadership roles, often they get elevated and then suddenly expected to be a strategic thinker. And you do need sometimes CPD or support to be able to elevate into that position. But then it's also about how do you cascade that down to other people in the business so that they can also buy into strategic changes, strategic vision. And I think there's a lot to be done around that being a whole company-wide thing, not just the owner of the business.
Yeah. And I think it's one of those things that it does need to be taught. I think people think that you've got this, you're either strategic or you're not, or you've got this innate ability to be more strategic. And obviously we're going to get into the behaviors, and there definitely are behaviors that ladder through that make it easier for you to be more strategic, but it is a skill that needs to be taught and needs to be honed. And it's not one of those things that as soon as you promote somebody or as soon as they've been with the business for a certain period of time or they've been through a certain amount of changes, you don't just get it. It actually has to be really consciously built.
Well, let's look at some of the barriers. So if you think about a major barrier would be the leadership team are aware of the strategy, but they don't communicate or share enough of that strategy with the wider business. So that's barrier number one. Barrier number two is where people really struggle getting out of the day-to-day and the managing and elevating into a more strategic position to help them inform decisions around the things that they're doing on a day-to-day. So often we see this where people get promoted and they're so busy doing the doing, they don't have time or allocate the time to think more strategically. I mean, we're classic. We allocate time now in our diaries to make sure we take ourselves out of the business to work on that. And we also give space to our management level to do that too. But we've had to really carve up the time and be conscious about that.
Yeah. And I think there's probably a third barrier that sits in between those two, where you get teams that are actually really good at articulating the strategy. So if you ask people across the wider business, they would know what the strategy was, but they don't understand how they got there. So they're not sharing their process or their thinking or even really involving people that might have different thought processes, different things to contribute. And we're seeing a bit of a theme now of clients getting their teams involved before they create a strategy or before they create that annual business plan or whatever they're doing, actually getting some insight from the people who are doing the work every day.
Yeah. And I think, you know, some good workings are using any engagement survey results, for example. If you're asking the wider business on things, often they'll flag potentially, you know, a strength or a weakness, an opportunity, a threat. Like even if you talk about a basic SWOT, they might flag some of those things. Then maybe getting a focus group together, or if it's something you're doing at leadership level. But you know, we personally in our business, but also with some of our clients, I know, you know, we've helped them every year look at what their 12-month strategic plan is in advance of it starting. That's number one. But getting intel from different data points in the business, across the business, and then doing that SWOT or whatever method you want to gather, but gathering like really where the points of focus need to be moving forward for that following year. And then splitting it into bite-sized chunks. What do those objectives look like? What do the goals look like? And then the final piece to that is then allocating the accountability of who's going to drive that, then sharing it with the wider business.
And making sure that people feel like they've got buy-in to that. Because how many times do you hear of a leader saying, oh, we've created the annual plan, we've got the strategic plan here. Joe, you're accountable for X. And Joe's kind of sat there going, well, I didn't say I wanted to be accountable for that. I don't even know what you mean by that. It's actually to get that. This is like buy-in 101. Like, you know that to get someone bought in, especially to something that is strategically imperative to your business's success, they need to be part of that process in some way, shape or form. Even if it's about going to that person and saying, you know, Joe, okay, in our annual planning session, we identified that in marketing, we need to work on X, Y, Z. You lead on that part of the business. How do you think that we could do this? And letting them then shape that, but actually just presenting the team with a strategic plan and expecting them to take ownership and accountability of things that have already been completely defined is just unrealistic. And it's often where we then see that drop-off point that sort of 3 to 6 months into that 12 months, all of a sudden you're off track and it's usually a buy-in issue.
It is. And I know we'll have a variance in size of business of our listeners here, but if your business is bigger, you might then split your strategic thinking into departmental plans or functional plans where people then feed into those overall objectives and you then working with them to be able to get on board with that. I mean, I think we use the phrase weigh-in to get buy-in, but the more weigh-in you get from people in goal setting or planning, the more they then start to come forward with things and feel more comfortable coming forward with things. It's like a trust piece. But if you then break that down on a functional level, you've then got everybody feeding into the same vision and endpoint for whatever theme it is or whatever ultimate strategy it is. But it's like getting people to row in the same direction, right?
And I think then to your point before about that accountability, it's then how do you measure that accountability on a repeated basis? You know, for us, we break our 1 year plan down into 90 day sprints. So every quarter we've got priorities that pull down from that 1 year. But then we also check in weekly on those priorities with the team. So where are you at? Have you moved the ball forward? And with that, we're not only able to hold accountability to it, so we're making it clear that if you're accountable for this, we're going to hold you accountable to it. But by doing it weekly, if you've got 2 or 3 weeks where that ball hasn't been moved forward and you can recognize that, you can pretty easily get it back on track versus often that piece of, oh, we check in on it quarterly, but we're checking in once a quarter. Well, you've only got 4 times to get it back on track throughout a year before you're totally off track. So that holding of accountability and making it visible, it's the easiest thing to implement. You've done the hard work. You've pulled the strategy together. You've got people's buy-in. You've articulated everything that needs to be done. And then often people fall at the last hurdle of just not checking in and not holding people accountable to that execution.
For sure. And what I will say is people might be thinking, well, our business is small. We don't really need to do that. You do. This is super valuable regardless of the size of your business. Obviously, if there's only 2 of you, it might be different, but one might be a real strategic thinker. One might not be. So it's about how you engage that.
If you're curious to know more about your leadership behaviours, click the link in the show notes to get a free leadership DNA profile for a limited time only.
I'd like to ask you first, Laura, because you are...
Oh, God.
Yeah. But you are, like, I would say one of your unique abilities is the fact that you're such a good strategic thinker and you see the world in, like, headlines, the grand design, the big picture. And one of the challenges I know you have sometimes is then being able to cascade that information down and get people's buy-in as quick as you want it. And obviously that's something you've really worked on. And the behavioural pattern we're talking about there is big picture. And I'm similar to you, but I think you do it in a... You've got it. When we talked about an innate ability, you have this built into you. Some of that's your behavioural patterns, but it's also just the way you see the world, right? So when people don't get it, or they're asking for all of the detail, and they're asking for the process and the steps, that is a form of frustration for you sometimes. How do you deal with that?
Yeah, it's tricky, isn't it? And I think with some of that, I was writing something the other day for a client and I was thinking about that. And I think it's about understanding, right, your blind spots. So knowing first where your blind spot is. So often for leaders that are more big picture in nature, and often senior leaders fall more to that side than not. It's about appreciating that you've probably got a blind spot in detail, and it depends on your percentages, right? I'm 100% big picture, so I've got a massive detail blind spot there. And instead of just getting frustrated with it or getting defensive, because I find myself sometimes if I get asked loads of questions about something, I can get quite easily frustrated or defensive around, well, for God's sake, I haven't thought about that bit yet. I'm getting to it, but for now, here's the vision. Instead of getting frustrated with it, actually thinking, well, you know what? Those are questions that we need to answer. And what that doesn't mean is that we have to answer them now. But actually, if people are asking you those questions, it's likely that they're detail-driven. So get them involved in the process. You know, get them, actually appreciate the fact that they're probably thinking about things that you're not. And that doesn't mean that your vision needs to slow down in the traditional sense. It just means that it might become more well-rounded. But I think appreciate where you've got the blind spots and be open to the challenge that comes with that. And that's something that I'm actively working on, as you see every day.
It's a work in progress.
It's a work in progress.
Yeah.
But I think the other point to add to that is just because you are detail doesn't mean you can't be strategic. And I think we hear that a lot, because although we're saying, you know, often senior leaders are more big picture than not, there are also very good senior leaders that are detail driven. And they can be strategic, but they will think about strategy in a different way. They'll think about strategy in the what, when, how. They'll think about the detail behind the strategy. How are we going to execute that? Versus actually what's the big picture and the vision at the end. And actually, to create a well-rounded strategy, you need both. So it is about partnering up. Now, when you're doing this with your team, if you're the detail person, find people in your team who are more big picture. There doesn't have to be a hierarchy thing here. Or vice versa, if you're more big picture and you've got detail people, you are going to have to coach them a little bit on where they've got blind spots. But don't presume that that means that they can't be strategic.
Yeah. And I think it's interesting when you look at people who are more process driven, so more procedural, often their strategic visions, it's more structured, it's more step by step. They want to see a chronological order for that strategy. Sometimes a strategy is an endpoint, but actually having the plan of how you get to an endpoint is the strategic plan. So you can have a vision, but it's not going to go anywhere unless you put something in place to get to it. So it's really connecting the sometimes the process piece. And if you're more procedural, the likelihood is you will want to work through that step by step to know where you're going and how you're going to get there and what that looks like. If you're more choices, high choices is the behavioral strength we're talking about, on the opposite side, you tend to bounce about a bit more and variety is more important. So sometimes your strategic thinking is a bit more scattergun. It's a bit more, sometimes more creative, and you're more easily distracted. So sometimes it's that piece where you've really got to maintain some structure to be able to focus in on the strategic things that are going to move the dial the most. And I know, you know, I've definitely fell short of that in our sort of planning over the last few years, where, you know, we both of us have in our business, where we love a shiny thing. And we've heard that a lot by some of our podcast guests, where they get distracted by the stuff that is new or that looks exciting. And we can often be not very good complete finishers, and we drop things once the shine's gone off them. So again, brilliant if you put the two patterns together, where you might have someone who's more, has the ability and a real strength to be able to bounce between multiple strategic points, for example, and someone else who might be better at working on one and really putting the procedure and process in place.
And I think with this, you just as a leader need to know how to nurture that. And often it's in how you ask questions, right? If you've got someone who is more big picture, you know, you might say things like, if you were leading this business, what would your vision be? Like, if you think about the next 3 to 5 years, where would you see this business going? What would keep you up at night? And you're asking, the way that you're asking that question is very vision-led. It's big picture in nature. You know, the flip side of that might be, if you were asking that question of someone detailed, it might be, you know, what do you think are some of the things that we really need to think about before we get to the next stage? Or if they're more procedural, what are the stages that you think we might need to go through to get to that end point. So you're, all of those questions are talking about strategy, right? But they're just talking about them in a different way. And I think that comes on to the point that to get someone to think more strategically, you've got to ask them strategic questions, right? I mean, we have clients where they'll say, oh, my team can't think strategically. And we'll say to them, well, how do you know that? What's your evidence point on that? And actually, it's a feeling. They haven't actually asked them any strategic questions that get asked around a boardroom table in order to not just test that ability, but almost develop it, you know, having them think about what opportunities they see for the business. I mean, to your point before, it's that SWOT stuff, isn't it? It's like, where do you think our strengths are? Where do you think our weaknesses are? Where are the trends in our industry? What are you seeing from working with customers that you think we could optimize or work on? These people have that in them, but you've got to ask them the right questions.
But also, it's about investing in future leadership in your business too. So, you know, we've done some work with a number of our clients where we've been nurturing future leaders of the business. And actually, one of the modules we've created and covered in the past is a strategic thinking module where we've actually given them some hypothetical business planning, getting them in a room and said, right, you think about if you had a budget to spend, where would you spend it? If this was your set budget, if you had a certain amount of money that you could give in pay increases, where would you, how would you work out who should get the pay increase if it was a set amount? If you were thinking about reducing costs, what things would you look at? Like actually getting them to do some exercises that got them really thinking about, crikey, that's what informs leadership decisions at the top. Because often they're on the receiving end of those decisions rather than at the front end. And I think one of the things we were conscious of was about nurturing that early on, you know, so that it's not just done once you've been promoted. You're actually giving them the tools to think about that stuff early on. And then what ends up happening inadvertently is when they start to have decisions cascaded down, they start to have a little bit more of an understanding as to what goes into deciding some of that stuff, because it can't always be the popular decision.
And you know what's really useful with that is if you can turn your frustrations into curiosity. So let's take the pay increase thing, right? I think it is a bugbear of a lot of leaders that when you give pay increases in your business, there will always be somebody that's not happy. And instead of getting frustrated, right, when those things happen, ask questions, you know, ask of your team, well, how would you do this differently? You know, to that point before, if you had pay increases to distribute, how would you distribute them? How would you communicate them? So instead of getting frustrated when you get negative feedback, use it as an opportunity for strategic coaching, because 9 times out of 10, they don't have any better ideas, right? But you'll start to see that some of those moans disappear when you're actually asking them the questions, because they get the insight into what it feels like. And I think that kind of pulls onto that point around the second piece of this. Once you've thought about the questions, is you've got to share your thinking, right? You've got to share how you're coming up with the strategy versus just giving the headlines to your team. How have you got there? How do you nurture them?
I get that, right? But we get asked a lot about how do you find a way of sharing enough, but sometimes you can't share everything, you know? And like, you can't always give everybody visibility of everything. Sometimes there's sensitive information at the top. You would scare the bejeebus out of the rest of the business if you shared everything. You know, currently we know they're turbulent times. Some businesses are faced with tough decisions. There's increases in fixed costs. The cost of living has gone up, and there's some real sort of pressure points in a business is making some of these strategic decisions currently. And I think, you know, we get asked this a lot, and often, if you're the owner or founder of a business, you can find it difficult to share some of the more sensitive information.
And I think what I'd say to that, and what we do say to people, is you can't share everything, right? But remember that there's a narrative happening in your business, whether or not you're controlling it. You know, we'll often get people say things like, oh, we're rolling out this change, we're talking about it around the leadership table, and we're not going to say anything until we've got it all fully formed. You do realize, don't you, that people in your business are noticing the changes. So say something. Usually that's my stance. I would say, you know, say something, even if you can't say everything. And be honest when you don't have the answers. You know, just say, listen, we're still forming this, but this is what I do know, or this is what I can share. Because, and we talk on this podcast a lot about trust. You've got to build trust with your team. If your team don't trust that you are honest and upfront, when you can be honest and upfront, you won't create the buy-in that you need to get them to do any of the stuff that you want them to do. So it's about thinking about, how can I share something here so that we're not leaving people completely in the dark, but in an appropriate way that's relevant to what we're dealing with.
Just before we sort of do some lessons learned, I just want to touch on the motivation piece, because I think often when you are thinking strategically, some people will connect more with the goals, the figures, the KPIs, and that is linked to the motivation pattern achievement. If you're more achievement driven, generally you will see the strategy more in those kind of terms. If you're more affiliation driven, you generally see them in more people-centric ways. So you're thinking about the customer, you're thinking about the team, you're thinking about the impact you're having on the people in your kind of environment. And so your strategic thinking can sometimes come across less focused, but it's more people-centric. And then obviously the power motivation is where you think about more around like taking a lead and having control and ownership, and how that would feel for you personally from a motivational standpoint. I think it's really important, because that often is the bit that feels very different from person to person, depending on how they're motivated. So for example, with Laura and I, Laura will see her strategy more in goals and KPIs and targets. And I do generally see the strategy of the business more in the people-centric way. Now, obviously, combine those two together, and it's, we've said this before on here, it's where kind of the magic really happens. But sometimes if you don't have an appreciation that people will see strategy differently, you can often dismiss what they're bringing to the table.
And I think people do, because often you think of strategy in terms of achievement, right? You think about it as a KPI, a goal, a target. And actually, if you've got team members who don't speak in terms of goals and targets, you can mistakenly think, oh, well, they can't be strategic. But actually they can. You're just not making the strategy relevant to their motivation.
In connecting it, I mean, we're just in the process of doing this with our new plan, because we've got our financial year is just about to end in a couple of months. And we're actually doing ours in a vision board, because some people see strategic thinking more in a visual. And we've then got the boards, the spreadsheets, the goals, the KPIs. So, but actually bringing them to life in different ways to help convince people of where you're going and what you're doing and get their buy-in. So even some of those like visuals and making sure that the plan is communicated in different formats will help connect your people to it. But also you will be able to get different people to feed into different elements. So, you know, for me, the visual bit is, it's big. It's like, if I can see it every day, I'm going to be connected to it more than I am on a spreadsheet.
So let's wrap up with some key takeaways from today's episode. The first really is about making sure that you are inviting people in your team to be more strategic, whether that's through questions, whether it's through involving different levels of people throughout the business in the process, but actually creating that invitation for them to be part of that strategic planning process. The other piece is really thinking through, if you have an iterative process to creating a strategy, which you should, then share that with the people that you're rolling it out to, versus just that final plan where they don't actually understand anything about how you've got to that point. So the final piece is about understanding that different behaviours can contribute to strategy in different ways. So your big picture and your high options people would just naturally think at a strategic level. But actually those other behaviours we talked around detail, around process, around some of those other behaviours you've heard us talk about in previous episodes, they can all contribute to the strategy in different ways. They will all be better at certain parts of the strategy, like creating the strategic plan, adding in the detail, just about you optimizing those in those areas.
Thank you for listening to Misbehave. Follow us so you don't miss out on other episodes.